Dear listeners, welcome to the podcast of the European Reference Network GuardHeart, the ERN of rare and complex heart diseases in both adult and pediatric patients across the European Union. Today we have two guests, Professor Peter Swatch. He is director of the Center and the Laboratory for the Study and Treatment of the Inherited Cardiac Arrhythmias, the Italian Axological Institute, IRCCS, in Milan. And our second guest is Dr. Luca Sala. He is assistant professor and head of the Cellular Electrophysiology Unit in the same institute. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Luca, can you tell us briefly about your city, Milan?
Yeah, so Milan is a 1.5 million people city, and it's enclosed in a very urbanized area of approximately 5 million people. And it's known as the capital of fashion and design, and as a lot of it's very rich city in history and culture. And you can see this very, very ancient history by, for example, the Gothic cathedral that we have, but also there is a nice blend and quite some sharp contrast between the old areas and the new modern areas with glass skyscrapers and plenty of new buildings. And it hosts some of the most renowned research institutes in Italy, and it's also a very attractive centers for life sciences and healthcare.
Thank you, Luca. And can you tell us about your hospital and of your center, and what is the main focus?
Yeah, our hospital has three main areas, and these are cardiology, neurology, and endocrinology, but cardiology is the most important for now. And our hospital has patient care as a primary focus, and it is one of the centers in Italy that combines clinical care with research. And in Italy, these are called IRCCS institutes. And our hospitals believe that clinical care and patients' treatment are better and more efficient where also translational research is performed. And this is why our group nicely embeds within these research environments. And both the hospital and also our Ministry of Health encourages the swift translation of basic science results and concepts to the clinics to the benefit of patients. And what we have as a specialty in our hospital is some of the largest cohorts of patients affected by rare congenital diseases. For example, the long QT syndrome, we have genotyped, well-genotyped and functionally phenotyped patients from records from more than 2,000 patients with this rare condition.
Thank you, Luca. And Peter, may I ask you, why did you become a member of the European Reference Network and in which thematic area?
Yes, having been involved as a group in rare diseases, primarily channelopathies and especially long QT syndrome for a long, long time, it was a natural thing for our group to become part of ERN. And that, I think, is a logical place for us to be in, because we can both contribute to ERN by providing science and guidance to younger investigators or clinicians who have questions about patients' management. We can benefit from the registries in ERN. So I think it's a win-win situation, and that's an important thing that we are all doing in Europe.
Thank you, Peter. And Luca, can you tell us something about what you can contribute to the ERN?
Yeah, so our group within the ERN can contribute with the participation to registries, for example, the long QT syndrome registry, or more recently, we have also launched the International Camonadrenopathy Registry that was launched after our group discovered that the CALM genes could lead to recurrent cardiac arrest in infants and to long QT syndrome phenotypes. And specifically for me, what I can contribute to the ERN is to creation and generation of patient-specific model, in vitro patient-specific models that can provide clinicians with guidelines and with the precious information that can help clinicians to provide better treatment to patients. For example, with drugs at more suitable drugs for specific genetic variants, or more suitable treatments for a specific condition that we are studying in the lab.
Yes, great. And on the other side, of course, you may also expect something from the ERN. And what are your expectations, Luca or Peter?
Well, a lot of cooperation and scientific joint programs. I think we are all open-minded in terms of accepting proposals by other groups and having other groups accepting to join us in our own studies. So I think it's a two-way type of thing, and where there is a mutual contribution.
Yeah, I think so. Thanks a lot. And beside this, I have also some personal questions so that we get to know you a little bit better. Peter, where did you train and who was your most important mentor?
I trained in Milan at the University of Milan, and my most important mentor was Professor Alberto Zanchetti, who was the head of internal medicine, but he started and grew up as a basic physiologist. So when I began to work, just having my MD degree, our work was divided in two parts. Until, let's say, noon or 1 o'clock, we were taking care of patients. And after, in the afternoon and evening, we were doing very basic physiology, recording single fibers in the sympathetic cardiac nerves or vagal nerves. So it was a mixture of clinical work and very basic science. And Professor Zanchetti was an inspiration in terms of his work. He was one of the world leaders in hypertension, but he gave us, to all of us, a tremendous amount of freedom. And importantly, he would have signed my papers only when he was really contributing. So at one point, whereas in Italy, most young people had about 80-85% of their papers signed by their directors. In my case, this number was 4%. And that was because he would put his name only if there was a definite contribution. And this was a fantastic lesson that I tried to follow.
Yes, great. And Luca, where did you train and who was your most important mentor?
Yeah, so I trained in cellular electrophysiology in Antonio Zazza's lab in Milan during my PhD. Then afterwards, I moved to the Netherlands in Christy Mamre's lab to expand the knowledge in stem cell biology. And after a few years, I moved back to Professor Schwarz's lab and moved into translational research. So I can say I had three mentors, and I think each one of them taught me something very important, valuable, but also unique. And I think this is deriving from the individual skills, personalities, and areas of research and expertise of these mentors. So each one of them were led by example and was extremely important in shaping the my current approach to problems. And the way I now deal with the difficult scientific or non-scientific situation and to the importance of having high research standards and the importance of maintaining technical mindsets to combine multiple disciplines has been pivotal for my scientific but also personal development.
You told us a little bit maybe already, but what was the most important lesson learned?
Well, to me, the most important lesson learned was when, again, it was really at the beginning of our experimental work. We had a visitor from the United States every summer. His name was Buzz Brown, was a world leader in basic physiology. And we as young people were always making a proposal. And one day it was one of my partners who made a proposal, and this guy said, "So what?" And I remember the shock in the entire group. And I remember I told myself, I should always know how to answer such a question. If someone asked me, "Why do you want to do this? Why do you, are you embarking on this research project? So what?" That's a very important question. And to be able to answer that question is helping in steering our research in the right direction.
Yeah, nice to hear. And Luca, can you tell me something about your most important lesson learned?
Well, it's not a proper lesson, but it's the progressive understanding that technology and technological advances are becoming the most important driver in science, modern science, and medicine. Because now, if a group or a hospital or a network does not implement advanced science and advanced technologies, it's very difficult to provide excellent patient care. So the lesson, if I can say that, is that the implementation of advanced technologies is now essential to implement to interpret the amount of data that we are producing with high throughput screening, and it's what changes and can make the difference between a good patient care and excellent patient care. And so I'm very excited to see what the future will hold on this regards.
Thank you. And then I have two questions left. The first one is your favorite sport, if any time for it. Peter, what is your favorite sport?
Well, I have two favorite things that I like to do. The favorite sport, calling a sport, is a golf. It's a golf game. I love to play golf in a competitive manner. But the other passion I have is to play bridge, the card game of bridge. These are my two main passions, and I love doing both.
And Luca, what is your favorite sport?
For me, it's biking and precisely mountain biking. So when I grew up, I had plenty of mountain bike trails in the woods. So I spent a lot of days on these trails. And the second, if I have to select one, the second is a sport to watch on TV, and that would be Formula One. But that would be quite difficult to play, I would say.
Yes, but very nice anyway. And your favorite holiday destination? I think I can already answer the question for Peter's watch. But Peter, what is it? Where is it?
Well, I certainly love coming to South Africa. I mean, I've been doing this for 25 years now. We spend 3 months every year during the winter time in Europe. We have plenty of friends here. It's a wonderful country, very interesting from a social point of view. And the country itself is wonderful. I mean, you go from the seaside to the mountains to the desert areas. You have wild animals. I think this is a half of a continent and is a wonderful place.
And Luca, where do you like to stay in holiday time?
For me, somewhere in the mountains for sure, and I have my favorite spot, which is in Trentino, in the northern Italian Dolomites, and I usually go there every winter, every summer, whenever I can, let's say, just to relax and do some hiking or skiing or walking. So that's in the mountains for sure.
Yes, great. Thanks. Thanks to both of you. And also thanks to our listeners for today's podcast. And we hope to meet you next week again. Okay, bye bye.
Thank you, Ninka. Thank you.
Thank you very much.